Alrighty, let's pick up where we left off. Please open to Jude, the book of Jude. And over in the book of Jude, we're only going to read one verse. Verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation,
wapenzi nilipokuwa nikifanya bidii sana kuandikia habari ya wokovu,
it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you,
ambayo ni wetu sisi usote nilio naliona imenilazimu kuandikia,
that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints."
Ili niwaonye kwamba mwishindanie imani iliyokabidhiwa takatifu mara moja tu.
Now, what Jude is expressing is concern for what was happening in the church.
Kile Yuda anasema hapa ni ile ilikuwa inaendelea ndani ya kanisa.
When he says that they should earnestly contend for the faith,
anaposema kwamba waishindanie sana imani,
that phrase earnestly contend gives the image of someone putting up a fight.
Hiyo swali la kushindania inaonyesha mtu ambao ameingia katika shughuli ya vita.
And not just any fight, a very severe, intense fight.
Sio vita tu ya kawaida, lakini vita ambayo ni kali.
And he says they need to fight for the faith.
Na anasema inahitajika kuipigania imani.
What he means by that is fight to stay on track and a hold of what you've been taught.
Yaani kupigania ili ubaki katika ile msimamo na kushikilia kile ambacho umefundishwa.
And he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Kwamba mkaweza kuishindania sana ile imani ambayo ilipatiwana kwa watakatifu mara moja.
That literally means hold on to what was taught with everything that is in you.
Yaani ukashikilia sana kila ambacho kilifundishwa kwa nguvu zako zote.
Because the teaching that has been delivered,
maana ile mafundisho ambayo yamepewanwa,
is all the gospel that is ever going to be given.
Yaani ndio injili yote ambayo itapaswa kupatiwana.
In other words, what is recorded in the Bible, that's it, there is no more.
Maana yake kwamba kile ambacho kimenakiliwa kwa Biblia ndio hiyo tu, hakuna kingine tena.
That phrase which was once delivered unto the saints,
hiyo msema kwamba kile kilichopatiwana kwa watakatifu mara moja,
means which was once and for all given to the church.
Maana yake ni kwamba ilipatiwana mara moja na tena hakuna nyingine, ni hivyo tu.
Now this is very important, because if I'm going to have a New Testament church,
hiyo ni muhimu, maana ikiwa itakuwa na kanisa la Agano Jipya,
I am not permitted by God to teach anything other than what is written in the word.
Suruhusiwi na Mungu kufundisha jambo lingine lolote kando na lile ambalo limeandikwa kwa Biblia.
The moment I begin teaching something other than what is recorded in the word,
wakati nitakapoanza kufundisha kitu tofauti na kilicho kwenye maandiko,
is the moment that I have violated God's standard.
Hapo ni wakati ambapo nitakuwa nimeenda kinyume ya msimamo wa neno la Mungu.
As pastors, this is extremely important for us to remember.
Kama wachungaji, ni muhimu sana tuweze kukumbuka.
As evangelists, as apostles, as prophets, as teachers,
kama wainjilisti, kama nabii, kama walimu,
we cannot forget this.
Hatuwezi kusahau hii.
We cannot allow what we teach,
tusiruhusu kile tunachofundisha,
to be controlled or governed by man.
Kiweze kuendeshwa au kusimamiwa na wanadamu.
We learned that, spiritually speaking, new converts are God's children.
Tulijifunza kwamba katika hali ya kiroho, wale ambao wanaokoka ni watoto wa Mungu.
And we have a responsibility to train them up in the way they should go.
Na tunalo jukumu la kuwalea kwa njia ambayo inawafaa kuendelea.
When it comes to having a New Testament church, we are to train them to be followers of Christ. Not followers of a church, a pastor, or a denomination. When it comes to the teachings of a New Testament church, the standard is recorded in the Word of God. So if a pastor wonders, what am I supposed to teach my people? Everything that a pastor needs to know is recorded in Scripture. Now, other pastors and teachers can help us understand these things. But the Holy Spirit is the only one who can confirm truth to our spirit. Now, some of the teachings of the New Testament church include these. We've already learned that a New Testament church must teach water baptism. There's a pastor I know who once told his congregation, the only thing water baptism does is get you wet. That is absolutely ridiculous. Because Jesus said that we are to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if I am not teaching water baptism, then I'm not teaching what Jesus said I'm supposed to teach. We've also learned that a New Testament church is supposed to be teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the pattern that's in Scripture. Many churches teach you don't need it. Many churches teach that it's not for today. But I'm here to tell you, it is for today. And you do receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why would I not want Christians to be endued with power? So yes, a New Testament church should teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But let's look at some other things a New Testament church should teach. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse
8.
Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Hivyo usema, alipopaa juu, aliteka mateka, akawapa wanadamu vipawa.
And in verse 11, we find out what these gifts are.
Katika mstari wa 11 tunapata hivi vipawa ni nini?
And he gave some apostles.
Na alitoa wengine kuwa mitume.
And some prophets.
Na wengine kuwa manabii.
And some evangelists.
Na wengine kuwa wainjilisti.
And some pastors.
Na wengine kuwa wachungaji.
And teachers.
Na walimu.
This is a revelation of ministry gifts.
Hii ni ufunuo wa vipawa vya huduma.
Jesus has established in the church these ministry gifts.
Yesu ameweka vipawa hivi vya huduma katika kanisa.
There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Kunao manabii, kunao walimu, kunao wachungaji, kunao walimu, kuna wainjilisti.
Still ministering today.
Ambao bado leo hii wanahudumu.
There are some churches which teach that the ministry of the apostle and prophet has passed away. There are some churches that teach that the ministry of the pastor is no longer valid. Yet nowhere in Scripture does God say that these ministry gifts will no longer be important for the church. But not only are we supposed to teach that these ministry gifts are still in operation, as a pastor, we have a responsibility to explain how these ministry gifts operate. And this is where a huge amount of confusion exists. Too many pastors do not understand how these different ministries operate. And so they tell people that these ministries do things that they're not supposed to do. It is extremely critical that we understand what these ministry gifts do. It is extremely important that we understand about the ministry of the apostle, and especially the ministry of the prophet. Because in that area of the ministry of the prophet, there's a tremendous amount of abuse. There are so many Christians today who call themselves prophets or a prophetess, and they have no idea what they are talking about. They do not know how that ministry is to operate, and they abuse a lot of Christians in the process. It is extremely important that pastors understand what a pastor is supposed to do. Too many pastors do not understand their role in the body of Christ. But in a New Testament church, a pastor has specific responsibilities. So if we're going to have a New Testament church, then as a pastor, we need to teach what are the ministry gifts and how they operate in the church. Now please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
Basi ndugu zangu, kwa habari za karama za roho, sitaki mkose kufahamu.
You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led.
Majua ya kuwa mlipokuwa watu wa mataifa, mlichukuliwa kufuata sanamu zisizo nena.
Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Kwa hiyo nawaarifu ya kwamba hakuna mtu anenaye katika roho wa Mungu kusema Yesu amelaaniwa, wala hawezi mtu kusema Yesu ni Bwana isipokuwa katika Roho Mtakatifu.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Basi pana tofauti ya karama, bali roho ni yeye yule.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord.
Tena pana tofauti za huduma, na Bwana ni yeye yule.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Kisha pana tofauti ya kutenda kazi, bali roho ni yule, ni yeye yule.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all.
Lakini kila mmoja hupewa ufunuo wa roho kwa kufaidiana.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Maana kwa mtu mmoja kwa roho apewa neno la hekima, na mwingine apewa neno la maarifa.
To another faith, to another faith by the same Spirit,
mwingine imani katika roho yule, yeye yule,
to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit,
na mwingine gharama za uponyaji katika roho yule mmoja,
to another the working of miracles,
na mwingine matendo ya miujiza,
to another prophecy,
na mwingine unabii,
to another discerning of spirits,
na mwingine kuzipambanua roho,
to another diverse kinds of tongues,
na mwingine aina za lugha,
to another the interpretation of tongues,
na mwingine tafsiri za lugha.
But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit,
lakini kazi hizi zote huzitenda roho huyu mmoja,
dividing to every man severally as he will.
Yeye yule akimgawia kila mtu peke yake kama apendavyo yeye.
If we're going to have a New Testament church, one of the things we have to teach,
kama tutakuwa na kanisa la agano jipya, moja wapo ya vitu lazima tufundishe,
is not just the ministry gifts,
sio tu zile vipawa ama karama za roho,
but their operation,
lakini jinsi zinafanya kazi.
Now if you'll notice in verse 7,
kama umeona pale katika kifungu cha 7,
well, back up to verse 4,
ama tuanzie kifungu cha 4,
there are diversities of gifts.
Kuna vipawa aina mbalimbali.
The gifts he's talking about are those ministry gifts that we just read about.
Vile ambavyo anazungumzia hapa ni zile vipawa vya huduma ambazo amenena tumesoma.
And there are differences of administrations.
Kunazo jinsi zinavyofanya kazi tofauti.
In other words, as the ministry gifts are operating, whether you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher,
yale vipawa ambao wanapewa kama utakuwa ni nabii, mwalimu, mwinjilisti au mchungaji,
the Lord Jesus is the one who administers those ministry gifts.
Bwana Yesu Kristo ndiye anayepeana na kutudumikisha hizo vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
And you'll notice in verse 7 he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit,
katika mstari wa 7 anasema dhihirisho ya Roho Mtakatifu,
is given to every man to profit with all.
Inapeanwa kwa kila mtu ili kufaidi kila mmoja kwa mwingine ama kufaidiana.
Not everyone is called to be a pastor.
Sio kila mtu ameitwa kuwa mchungaji.
Not everyone is called to be a prophet.
Sio kila mtu ameitwa kuwa nabii.
Not everyone is called to be an apostle.
Sio kila mtu ameitwa kuwa mtume.
Or an evangelist.
Au mwinjilisti.
Or a teacher.
Au mwalimu.
However, everyone,
isipokuwa kila mmoja,
can be used by the Holy Spirit,
anaweza kutumikiwa na Roho Mtakatifu,
in the gifts of the Spirit,
katika vipawa vya Roho.
And he says here in verse 7,
katika mstari wa 7 anasema,
the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all.
Lakini kila mmoja hupewa ufunuo wa Roho kwa kufaidiana.
This does not mean that every single person is going to be used in the gifts of the Spirit the same way. It means that as the Holy Spirit moves, he's the one who decides where the gifts operate. In the body of Christ,
katika mwili wa Kristo,
a lot of people do not understand this.
Watu wengi hawaelewi hii.
And so they try to manufacture gifts of the Spirit.
Kwa hivyo wanajaribu kubuni vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
Beginning in verse 8, we see the gifts of the Spirit.
Katika mstari wa 8 tunaanza kuona ile vipawa vya Roho Mtakatifu.
The word of wisdom.
Neno la hekima.
The word of knowledge.
Neno la maarifa.
Faith.
Imani.
Gifts of healing.
Vipawa vya uponyaji.
Working of miracles.
Utendaji wa miujiza.
Prophecy.
Unabii.
Discerning of spirits.
Kupambanua roho.
Diverse kinds of tongues.
Aina mbalimbali ya lugha.
And the interpretation of tongues.
Na tafsiri ya hizo lugha.
Many Christians today are taught,
watu wengine wa Kristo wengi wanafundishwa,
that the gifts of the Spirit,
kwamba vipawa vya roho,
are ministry gifts.
Au ni vipawa vya huduma.
They are not ministry gifts.
Sio, hizi sio za huduma.
There is no such thing as the ministry of the word of knowledge.
Hakuna huduma ya ufunuo ya neno la maarifa.
There is no such thing as a gift, the ministry gift of faith.
Hakuna huduma ambayo inasema wewe umepokea kipawa cha huduma ya imani.
The prophecy he's talking about here is not the ministry of the prophet. Because not everybody is called to be a prophet. He is talking specifically about the Holy Spirit choosing to move on someone to deliver a prophetic word through that person. But there are many Christians who believe they're called to these gifts as a ministry.
But
notice verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Kwamba hivi vyote vinafanya kazi kama kitu kimoja, Mungu akigawa kila mmoja juu ya kila mmoja mmoja kama vile anavyopenda.
The ministry gifts,
vipawa vya magarama za huduma za roho,
are given by Jesus.
Zinapewana na Yesu.
They are ministry callings for your life.
Hizo ni karama za wito juu ya maisha yako.
But the gifts of the Spirit,
lakini vipawa vya roho,
are manifested as the Holy Spirit decides who he will move through at a particular time. It is impossible, absolutely impossible, for any one of us to manufacture a gift of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit has not moved on that individual. But there are a lot of Christians who don't believe this. They think they can manifest the word of knowledge or any of these gifts anytime. And the reason the Apostle Paul was writing all of this was because in the church at Corinth, these people were very confused about the gifts. And they thought that when the Holy Spirit moved on them and manifested one of these gifts, that automatically they were somebody special. But you can take a brand new Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can move through that Christian with one of these gifts. But that does not mean that that new Christian is ready to preach the Word of God. But all too often in the church today, when the Holy Spirit moves through somebody, a lot of pastors want to promote that individual, and that is not at all any wisdom. You cannot cause a gift of the Spirit to manifest anytime that you want. You cannot speak in tongues for interpretation anytime you want. You can pray in tongues anytime you want, but you cannot just speak in tongues for interpretation. That only happens when the Holy Spirit moves on a person. The reason a lot of Christians get upset over this is because they've been led to believe that when a gift of the Spirit operates through them, God is automatically identifying them as a mighty person in the body of Christ. And what we have to understand is this. The gifts are of the Spirit. are at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. He might use me in a gift of healing today, and then never again manifest that gift through me. He might manifest a word of knowledge through me today, and then never again manifest that gift. It is totally at His discretion. So if I'm going to have a New Testament church, I have to make sure the people in my church understand this. I will rejoice when the gifts manifest, but I will understand that this was by the choice of the Holy Spirit, not the choice of the individual. Now look in 1 Corinthians 14. And I just want to say that in all of these we're covering right now, there is so much more detail that could be given. What I am doing is introducing this to you so that you'll have more to pray about and to study in the Word of God. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God.
For maana yeye anenaye katika lugha hasemi na watu bali husema na Mungu.
For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Maana hakuna asikiae lakini ananena mambo ya siri katika roho yake.
Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself.
Yeye anenaye kwa lugha hujijenga nafsi yake.
But he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Bali ahutubuye hulijenga kanisa.
Verse 14.
Mstari wa 14.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue,
maana nikiomba katika lugha ya roho, maana nikiomba kwa lugha roho yangu huomba.
My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Roho yangu huomba lakini akili zangu hazina matunda.
Very briefly, what we're seeing in chapter 14,
kwa ufupi tunachoona hapa katika sura 14,
is an explanation of the ministry of tongues.
Hiyo ni maelezo kuhusu huduma ya ndimi.
As I am praying in tongues,
ninapoomba katika ndimi,
I am praying out the mysteries of God.
Ninaomba siri za mambo ya Mungu.
This means the things about the Bible I don't understand.
Ni vitu kuhusu Biblia nisivyoelewa mimi.
As I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is helping me understand.
Ninapoomba katika ndimi, Roho Mtakatifu ananisaidia kuzielewa.
As I spend time praying in tongues,
ninapochukua muda wangu kuomba katika ndimi,
I am edifying myself spiritually.
Ninajijenga mwenyewe kiroho.
I am helping myself grow and mature spiritually.
Ninajisaidia kukua kukoma katika kiroho.
When I pray in tongues,
nikiomba katika ndimi,
my spirit is in divine communication with Almighty God.
Roho yangu inawasiliana na Mungu mkuu.
I am speaking in a language no human understands.
Ninaongea katika lugha ambayo hakuna mwanadamu anayeelewa.
But I am communicating directly with God.
Lakini nawasiliana moja kwa moja na Mungu.
Not even Satan understands what I'm saying when I'm praying in tongues.
Hata shetani haelewi ninasema nini wakati naomba katika ndimi.
Many Christians say that Satan does know what you're saying.
Wakati Wakristo wengine wanasema kwamba shetani anaelewa unasema nini ukiomba kwa ndimi.
But there's nothing in scripture to confirm that.
Lakini hakuna kitu kwa maandiko kinachosema kwamba ukinena kwa ndimi shetani anaelewa hilo.
Think about it this way.
Jifikiria namna hii.
God says that when I pray in tongues,
Mungu anasema nikiomba katika ndimi,
my natural understanding is unfruitful.
Akili zangu za kawaida hazielewi lolote.
Why in the world?
Kwa nini katika ulimwengu?
Would God enable the devil?
Kwa nini Mungu aruhusu shetani?
To understand what I'm praying,
kuelewa ninachokiomba,
and not let his own child understand. Satan cannot understand you when you are praying in tongues. And this is the main reason why he has fought this so hard, because he has seen what happens when Christians understand this concept and they begin to pray in tongues. They start conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. They start doing the works of Jesus Christ. They become like Jesus Christ. And the last thing Satan wants are more people like Jesus in the world. So when I am praying in tongues, even though my human mind does not understand, I have entered into a spiritual realm with Almighty God. It is a place where Satan cannot stop and interfere. I have entered into a place of fellowship with God. And I am praying the absolute perfect prayer. Because in Romans chapter 8, it tells me that when the Spirit is making intercession for me, that I am praying the perfect will of God. As a New Testament church, I absolutely must explain to the people in my church why they need to pray in tongues. Now I need to encourage them to pray with the understanding, because that's what Paul said. But if I am not teaching the people to pray in tongues and explaining what happens when they do, then I am holding them back from a deeper relationship with Jesus. Praying in tongues does not get you to heaven. Being born again gets you to heaven. But praying in tongues helps you to go to a deeper level in God. If the Apostle Paul needed to pray in tongues, I absolutely need to pray in tongues. Because he said in verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. If the Apostle Paul needed it, praise God, so do I. And so does every other person in the body of Christ. Praying in tongues helps you come to the place of knowing your ministry calling. And I can honestly tell you, if it were not for praying in tongues, I would not be here today. I would not be in Kenya. I would not be in Migori. I would not be teaching in this seminar. But times of praying in tongues, over the years, I prayed hours and hours and hours in tongues. It has allowed the Holy Spirit to work in me to bring forth God's will. And the same is true for every single believer in Jesus Christ. If I'm going to have a New Testament church, I absolutely must teach about praying in tongues. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Praise God. Now, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are being questioned by the Jewish religious leaders.
Na watu wa dini.
And in verse 12, here's what they said. Neither is there salvation in any other name.
Wala hakuna wokovu katika mwingine awaye yote.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Kwa maana hakuna jina jingine chini ya mbingu waliopewa wanadamu litupasalo sisi kuokolewa kwalo.
In other words, if I'm going to have a New Testament church, I have to teach the people in the church Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. There is no other God. There is no other name. There is no one else that I can put my faith in and be born again. It is Jesus alone. He is the only hope for salvation. But even today, there are pastors in churches who will teach you that Jesus is the Son of God. They will teach you Jesus died on the cross for your sins. They will teach you that Jesus rose from the dead. But they will also teach you that all religious paths lead to the same God. Well, I have news for you. I can worship Buddha, but I am not worshiping Jesus Christ. Buddha did not die for my sins. We could go through a whole list of other gods. But you can have no other God but Jesus Christ. And there are people today. They want to worship Jesus. And they want to worship others as well. These are churches that used to teach only about Jesus. But they have strayed from the foundation. And now they're teaching other things that are leading to the destruction of believers. If I'm going to have a New Testament church, I must teach Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please turn to Acts 8. Now some of you may be wondering that some of the things that I'm teaching you already know. You may be thinking, well, of course Jesus is the only way. But what you don't understand is that there are preachers on television teaching Jesus and other ways. There are pastors with huge churches that are teaching Jesus and other ways. They're going to other countries and teaching this heresy. And Jesus warned us about this. He said false prophets would rise up. And he said these false prophets would tell you they are from me. But they're going to lead people astray. And Jesus said that if it's possible, even the very elect will be deceived. Just because someone pastors a big church or travels all over the world to preach, it doesn't mean they can't be deceived. This is why this seminar is so important. It's to keep us rooted and grounded in truth so that we don't get led astray. I know for a fact there are preachers who have come to Kenya, held huge crusades where thousands and thousands of people were in attendance. And some of what they have taught, absolutely wrong. And yet people are shouting and jumping, praising the Lord because they're being lied to. We can't let that happen. We have to continue on this foundation. In Acts chapter 8, here's what has happened. Philip has gone to Samaria and preached the gospel. While he was preaching, a man named Simon got saved. This man, Simon, had been a sorcerer. And a lot of people thought that he had been sent by God. But when Simon heard the preaching of Philip and saw the power of God demonstrated, he realized he had been wrong. So he repented, he got saved, and he was baptized. But then later on, Peter and John came to Samaria. And Peter and John began ministering to people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 15, it says, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Wapokee Roho Mtakatifu, kwa maana bado hawajashukiwa hata mmoja wao, ila wamebatizwa kwa jina lake.
Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Ndipo wakaweka mikono yao juu yao, nao wakapokea Roho Mtakatifu.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
Hata Simoni alipoona kuwa watu wanapewa Roho Mtakatifu kwa kuwekewa mikono ya mitume, akataka kuwapa fedha akisema.
Now Simon had to have seen something happen.
Lazima Simoni aliona kitu kifanyika.
Because we can lay hands on anybody. And as you watch us lay hands on people, unless something happens that you can witness, you will not know what happened to them. When the apostles laid their hands on these people, those people were filled with the Holy Ghost. What is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost? It is speaking in tongues. Simon is watching this. And he sees the apostles lay hands on these people. They get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin speaking in tongues. And Simon knows that something incredible has happened. He wants to be able to do this too. And so in verse 19, he has given them money. And he says, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity."
Moyo wako huko katika kifungo cha uchungu na ubaya na uovu.
Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Now here's something very interesting about this passage. Simon was not someone who had been saved for years. Simon was a new convert. He didn't understand all these things of God. And yet the apostles rebuked him for what he did. They expected him to operate by that inward witness, that conscience of the born-again spirit, which convicts us of right and wrong. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Now, when we see people get born again, our tendency is to not hold them accountable for their actions. We excuse it by saying something like this. Well, they're just baby Christians. They need to grow up. Yet according to what we see in the Word of God, the moment we get born again, there are some things we ought to know not to do. In other words, we need to hold baby Christians to a higher level of accountability. If I'm going to have a New Testament church, then I need to teach the people in my church that even new Christians are supposed to act like Christians. There's no excuse for just doing anything you want and then saying, well, I just didn't know any better. Because the moment you get born again, the life of God in your spirit will even convict your thoughts over what you do. And this is what the apostles were confronting Simon about. Yes, we are supposed to nurture baby Christians. But we must make it clear that we expect them to be responsible for their actions. The apostles would not have rebuked Simon if they did not know that Simon was going to be convicted. And what I mean is this. If the apostles did not know that Simon knew what he was doing was wrong, they would not have rebuked him. They would have sat down with him and just explained things. But instead, Peter rebuked him because Peter knew that in his heart Simon would have known this wasn't right. A New Testament church expects Christians to act like Christians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote to these Christians and said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Na yeye aliyewaita katika neema ya Kristo.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Na ukiugia injili ya namna nyingine, wala si nyingine, lakini wapo watu wa wataabishao katika kutoka kuingiza kugeuza injili ya Kristo.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Lakini ijapokuwa sisi au malaika wa mbinguni atawahubiri ninyi injili yoyote isipokuwa hiyo tuliyowahubiri, na alaaniwe.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Kama nilivyo tangulia kusema, na sasa nasema tena, mtu awaye yote akiwahubiri ninyi injili yoyote isipokuwa hiyo ni mlio pokea, na alaaniwe.
For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Maana sasa je, ni wanadamu ni wapasayo ni nao washawishi au Mungu? Au nataka kuwapendeza wanadamu? Kama ningekuwa hata sasa nawapendeza wanadamu, singekuwa mtumwa wa Kristo.
What Paul is identifying here,
kile ambacho Paulo anatambua hapa,
is that there were preachers coming into this church,
kwamba kuna wahubiri wanakuja kwa hii kanisa,
and teaching things the apostles never taught,
na kufundisha vitu ambavyo mitume hawajafundisha.
And where the apostle Paul says, let those people be accursed,
na wakati Paulo anasema kwamba hao watu walaaniwe,
that word accursed comes from the Greek word anathema.
Hilo neno laana inatoka kwa neno la Kiyunani inayosema anathema.
It means estranged from salvation.
Inamaanisha kwamba ameondolewa katika wokovu.
In other words, at their judgment,
inamaanisha kwamba katika hukumu yao,
they will be estranged or separated from God forever.
Watatenganishwa au kuondolewa katika kundi la Mungu milele.
And in verse 8 he says something interesting.
Na katika mstari mwingine anasema kitu cha kupendeza.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel,
kwamba hata kama ni sisi au malaika kutoka mbinguni atahubiri injili nyingine.
Back then, just as today,
wakati huo na hata hivi leo,
there are preachers going around,
kuna wahubiri wanazunguka,
and telling people they have had visitations from angels.
Wanasema, anaambia watu nilitembelewa na malaika.
And the angels are giving them doctrine to teach.
Na malaika wamewapa mafundisho fulani wafundishe watu.
Then when they stand up and teach this doctrine,
wanaposimama kufundisha mafundisho hayo,
it does not line up with what the apostles taught.
Hayo mafundisho haiambatani na kile mitume wamefundisha.
It contradicts scripture.
Inakuja kinyume na maandiko.
Anytime a preacher stands up,
kila wakati ambapo mtu mhubiri atasimama,
and says he received revelation teaching from an angel,
na akasema nilipokea ufunuo kutoka kwa malaika,
run from that person.
Kimbia wachana na huyo mtu.
As fast as you can.
Mbio kama unavyoweza.
Because the Holy Spirit is the one who has been called to be our teacher.
Maana Roho Mtakatifu ndiye ambaye ameitwa kukuwa mwalimu wetu.
Nowhere in the Bible,
hakuna popote katika Biblia,
did Jesus Christ commission,
ambao Yesu Kristo aliagiza,
an angel to take the place of the Holy Spirit.
Malaika wachukue nafasi ya Roho Mtakatifu.
The Holy Spirit is the one who will establish this truth.
Roho Mtakatifu ndiye anayethibitisha kweli hii.
And he is not going to give any more truth than what we have in the Word.
Na hatapatiana kweli nyingine zaidi ya ile ambayo tayari iko katika neno la Mungu.
We have been warned in Scripture,
tumeweza kutahadharishwa kwa maandiko,
that Satan's messengers,
kwamba wajumbe wa Shetani,
can appear as an angel of light.
Wanaweza kujidhihirisha kama malaika wa nuru.
These preachers, who constantly talk about having all of these meetings with angels, I cannot find anything in Scripture to support that teaching. The Apostle Paul had a personal meeting with Jesus. The Apostle Paul was taught by the Holy Spirit. If the Apostle Paul had had visitations from angels, and the angels had given him all of his teaching, he would have said so in the Word of God. But he never said anything of the sort. If I am going to have a New Testament church, I can only preach what the apostles preached. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Beginning in verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?
Basi, kama ukamilifu ulikuwapo kwa ukuhani wa Levi, maana watu wale walipata sheria kwa huo, kulikuwa na haja gani tena ya kuhani mwingine ainuke kwa mfano wa Melchizedeki, wala asihesabiwe kuwa mfano wa Haruni?
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Maana ukuhani ule ukibadilika, hapana budi sheria hiyo ibadilike.
And if you look over, still here in the book of Hebrews,
hapa tu katika kitabu cha Waebrania pia,
to chapter 8,
mstari wa 8,
verse 1,
mstari wa kwanza.
Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Basi, katika hayo, tunayasema neno lililo kuu nilo hili. Tunaye kuhani mkuu na wa namna ya aliyeketi mkono wa kuume wa kiti cha enzi cha ukuu mbinguni.
In verse 6,
mstari wa 6,
but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Lakini sasa amepata huduma iliyo bora zaidi, kwa kadri alivyo mjumbe wa agano lililo bora, lililo amuriwa juu ya ahadi zilizo bora. Maana zilizo bora.
Jesus was from the tribe of Judah.
Yesu alitoka katika kabila la Yuda.
This is established in Hebrews 7:14.
Waebrania 7:14 inasema hivyo.
Because he was from the tribe of Judah,
kwa sababu alitoka katika kabila la Yuda,
it would have been impossible for him,
ingelikuwa ngumu sana kwake,
to have served as a priest,
kuweza kuwa kuhani.
But he is recognized in Scripture as our high priest.
Lakini maandiko inamtambua kama kuhani mkuu.
And God is saying here in his word,
na Yesu amenena anasema kwa neno lake,
if there's been a change in the priesthood,
kama kulibadilika ukuhani,
there has to have been a change in the law.
Inamaanisha kwamba hata sheria ilibadilika.
Because the law established the Levitical priesthood.
Maana sheria ndio iliweka ukuhani ya Walawi.
And yet we see that Jesus is now our high priest.
Lakini tunaona kwamba Yesu sasa ndio kuhani wetu mkuu.
And he has obtained a more excellent ministry.
Na ameweza kupokea karama iliyo ya juu sana.
It is more excellent than the priesthood under the law.
Yaani yeye amekuwa kuhani bora kuliko kuhani aliyekuwa chini ya sheria.
And under the priesthood of Jesus,
na chini ya ukuhani wa Yesu,
we have a better covenant.
Kuna agano bora
that is based upon better promises.
Ambayo limethibitika juu ya ahadi bora.
If I'm going to have a New Testament church,
kama nitakuwa na kanisa la agano jipya,
I cannot teach obedience under the law.
Siwezi kufundisha watu kutii chini ya sheria.
I have to teach this new covenant.
Lazima nifundisha agano jipya.
And the priesthood of Jesus Christ.
Na ukuhani wa Yesu Kristo.
If I teach people
nikifundisha watu
that they have to continue to honor feasts and festivals, that they cannot eat certain foods restricted by the law, and I continue to teach that they are responsible to all of the ordinances of the law, I am taking away from the new covenant and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We have a new covenant. We have a new high priest. And if I'm going to have a New Testament church, I have to teach the new covenant, not the law. There are people in the world, Christians who are telling other Christians that they have to live according to the law. There was a church in the United States that slowly began teaching this. As time went by, they got more and more in bondage to the law. It got to the point to where the pastor and the leadership of the church dressed like Levitical priests. They changed their church services from Sunday to Saturday. They began to have services at a church member's farm and sacrifice animals for salvation. They were shedding the blood of bulls and goats. The very thing that Scripture says cannot take away sin. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other blood. There is no other sacrifice. And if I'm going to have a New Testament church, I have to explain the priesthood of Jesus and explain the blessings of the better promises. If I tell the people in my church they can only be blessed if they live according to the law, I am denying the completed work of Jesus Christ. If he now is my high priest and I now have a better covenant and there are better promises with that covenant, that means I can get greater blessings by living according to the new covenant than I can by living according to the law. My blessings are in Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please stand.
Amen. Smile.